Great question. The Manufacturing Podcast offers news and information for the people who make, store, and move things, and those who manage and maintain the facilities where that work gets done.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on this installment of the Great Question Podcast. Today, the question is about the state of the U.S. manufacturing economy. I'm Robert Brooks. I'm the editor and content director of American Machinist. And our guest is Chris Chidzik, the principal economist for AMT, the Association for Manufacturing Technology. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think a lot of our listeners may not be clear. So please tell us, what is AMT and what is manufacturing technology?
Absolutely. So I've been finding out in my presentations recently that, you know, anytime you say manufacturing technology, everybody has a totally different picture in their head. So AMT is the Association for Manufacturing Technology. Our members either build or sell metalworking equipment. Every other year, there's the IMTS show at McCormick Place in Chicago, which is coming up this September. We put on that show, and it's a really great showcase of exactly what our members do and the vital role that they play in the manufacturing economy.
Okay, so it's cutting tools and grinding tools, it's turning tools, it's forming, metal forming tools, it's all types of CNC-based machinery that supports downstream manufacturing by OEMs.
Yep, exactly. Everything you would typically picture in a machine shop, and even things beyond that. We have emerging technologies, additives, software, all these different technologies that come together to make things.
Okay. So what happens in this sector is important to all of those downstream operations. Could you define manufacturing technology with some easy to recognize examples?
Yeah, absolutely. So even though manufacturing technology might not be as forefront as some other particular sectors, it's integral to almost everything that we do, make, consume. If you imagine an automobile, that's a pretty easy example. There's lots of metal parts in there. You have the engine block that needs to be cut out. You have the hoods, things like that that need to be stamped. But then even if you look farther beyond the goods, the service sector is pretty heavily reliant on manufacturing technology as well. Everybody knows you need to make an airplane out of metal parts, but nobody really buys an airplane. You buy the ticket on an airplane. So even though that's a service, it's heavily reliant on manufacturing technology. Even things down to a haircut, which you might not think about, the scissors need to be made out of metal. Even the ball bearings that make the chair swivel, they're made on the machines that our members make.
That's a great example. What type of businesses invest in manufacturing technology?
So it's pretty wide ranging. Probably the largest consumer of manufacturing technology are job shops. They're machine shops that just contract with OEMs, make specific parts, things like that. Beyond that, it's generally large manufacturers such as aerospace, automotive. Basically, anybody who wants to make a part out of metal would be a customer of manufacturing technology.
Okay, let's get closer to the point. Mm-hmm. What do manufacturing technology orders indicate about the manufacturing economy?
Mm-hmm. So it's a really good leading indicator of where capacity needs are going to be. For example, certain automotive manufacturers may need to anticipate what demand's going to be down in a couple months. So they need to adjust their production lines, not only to manufacture the volume of cars that consumers are going to demand, but also the exact types that consumers are going to demand. So taking a look at where that investment is happening is a really good indicator of where corporations think that either consumer demand or B2B demand is going to be in the near future.
Okay. So how did we get to the point where we're at today? What did we learn about manufacturing economy in 2023?
So 2023 was a really interesting year. The headline that everybody kind of keeps looking at is it was a down year relative to 2022. However, we have to keep in mind that orders are still at a very, very elevated rate compared to typical times. If everybody remembers back to 2020 when COVID kind of shut things down, orders really dropped off. But then everybody started shifting their demand from services over to goods. That led to a massive rebound in demand for manufacturing technology to meet those changing consumer demands. We're kind of coming down from that height of orders, but things are still at a pretty elevated pace.
This is March, and we've just received the order totals for January. What does manufacturing technology orders in January tell us about the state of the economy?
Absolutely. So we actually just had two releases come out. USMTO, which covers the machinery orders, as well as our cutting tool market report, which covers the consumables that go in the machine. I always like to joke that when the USMTO orders go up, that's when people want to be making things. And when the cutting tool orders are going up, that's when people are making things. January 2024 for the machinery orders was down a lot from December. However, December 23 was a great month by multiple measures. But that's kind of in line with expectations. Over the course of history, January is typically the lowest month of the year for manufacturing technology orders. Now, couple that with the cutting tool order report, which was up in January. So it indicates that manufacturers are still making things. They need those consumable tools that go in the machine. So they're being used. Spindles are turning, products are coming out the door. And we actually had our Winter Economic Forum back in January. One of the predictions for the year was that we'd be up about 8% in 2024. And although January didn't quite meet that, the cutting tool report is showing that people are making things. The machines that are on the floor are being used. And it's a really good sign that orders are going to pick up at some point throughout 2024.
Right. I think this is really important for people to understand. We've got the leading indicators, which are the machine tool orders, and we've got the current rate of activity, which is the cutting tool orders. Mm-hmm. And January is always down because there's various factors, including a hangover from late orders placed in December. So what we see today can be a little bit distracting from in terms of actual activity that's happening by machining operations. What are the principal factors that are shaping activity right now?
I think one of the principal factors is the generally soft landing that we're starting to kind of experience. Everybody was kind of on edge about a coming recession almost all through 2023. So that kind of really gave pause to many businesses that were thinking about investing in additional capacity. Additionally, the tight labor market has left a lot of additional wages in consumers' pockets. Even in the face of inflation and things like that, consumer demand is still really strong. So if people want things, somebody's going to get the machine to make it to meet that demand. There's a couple other factors, but I think those are the generally good economic conditions are the principal ones that are leading us from 23 into 24 on a fairly optimistic footing.
Yeah, there was a note in the January release that the orders from OEMs had been particularly positive for that month. So let's look a little closer at OEM activity. What are the automotive manufacturers doing? What's happening in that sector that we can look at?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned a little earlier that the largest consumer were contract machine shops. Just behind that is aerospace, automotive, and then everybody else makes up the bulk of the rest. So automotive is one of the big sectors that we track. There were some really interesting trends that we saw throughout 2023. The primary one is the amount of investment was way higher than in previous years. And it was driven really interestingly by manufacturers of the machinery that make transmission lines. And it's really interesting because I feel like all of the headlines focused on, you know, this company's investing this much in batteries, this company's investing this much in EVs, things like that. But a good bulk of the investment in capacity actually came from transmission line machinery manufacturers. And I think that really goes to show that the full transition from traditional ICE to EVs is going to be a much longer process than a lot of people realize, not only on new vehicles coming off the line, but the sheer volume of the fleet that we already have out there. Even if, you know, every single new car is an EV coming off the line, you still have tons out there that would need maintenance, new parts, new transmissions, things like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of investment in machinery for manufacturing EVs, but the ICE vehicle manufacturing activity is continuing at a pace that's stronger than most people had forecast, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you also mentioned aerospace. Tell us what's happening in the aerospace sector.
So there's a couple really interesting trends developing in aerospace. First is, you know, the typical what you think of commercial aviation. That really picked up post-COVID. A lot of airlines, you know, either it was big headlines, they were either canceling orders, delaying orders, and then within a couple months, everybody was jumping back in that line. So a lot of the OEMs of aircraft really needed to increase capacity. And there's been a lot of headlines recently of big purchases by airlines and big investments by OEMs to try and increase the rate at which they get those planes out. The second major thing is on the defense side. Basically, you know, if you open the newspaper, there's all these geopolitical issues cropping up here, there, all around the world. And a lot of capacity has been invested in meeting the demand for defense products, particularly new airplanes, missile technology, things like that. And that's really driving a good bit of the aerospace sector. And then the final really interesting thing is space itself. You know, there's all these headlines coming out of different private companies investing in rocket technology, different spaceflight vehicles, and it's super exciting. I don't want to belabor the point too much because I find it really interesting, but I think that's going to be one of the main driving factors of the aerospace sector going forward and could eventually be spun off into its own maybe sub-industry of space vehicles versus those that just fly around here on Earth, which is crazy to say, oh, we're just flying around on Earth.
Right. But it's incredibly exciting, though, because the satellite communications industry and the, you know, the shift to that type of network technology is all coming from the private sector. And mm-hmm. It's a lot of potential for manufacturers on Earth to contribute to that.
And in space as well. Right.
Yeah. Are there other sectors? I know people are interested in what happens in the oil and gas sector. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of machinery involved in exploration and extraction and refining of oil and gas. What can you tell us about that sector?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the oil and gas sector is pretty interesting. Over the last couple of years, they've pretty steadily increased their investment right around the October timeframe. And that's been kind of their seasonal pattern for the last couple years. The really interesting thing is that investment really picked up in January of this year. Taking a look into what might be happening, 2023 was a record year for oil and natural gas extraction in the state of Texas. So what we're looking at is just different trends of either A, capacity needs, B, replacing old wellheads with more efficient, newer technologies. And then also there's a little bit of government interference. I don't know if you remember the beginning of the year, The Biden administration tried to put a pause on natural gas exports. That was held up in the court. So we're wondering if it's possible that certain manufacturers are trying to get as much out and exported before that works its way through the system and is either put back in place or modified slightly. It's a really interesting market to take a look at, and there's so many dynamics that go on with it.
A lot of different demand factors coming together in one market, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to go back to the point you made about manufacturing technology being a leading indicator. What do manufacturing technology orders that we see now tell us about 2024?
Mm-hmm. I think that the orders that we're seeing right now is showing signs of strength in the economy, particularly if you look at the cutting tool portion of it. Orders are up, people are making things. And if you look at the machinery orders, a lot of the supply issues that we felt during COVID have really been alleviated. So machines are getting on shop floors faster. And a lot of the demand that we're seeing is from sectors that are pretty close to consumer activity. And that's going to be really strong going forward should we continue on this path of a soft landing that we're seeing.
Okay, so to address that soft landing issue, the one thing that people are constantly studying is the potential for a cut in interest rates, which would help manufacturers and other industries finance investments. Would that be a boon to manufacturing technology?
So I feel like conventional wisdom just says yes, but I think the real answer is a little bit more nuanced than that. We actually took a look a little bit earlier about what the effect of rising interest rates has been on manufacturing technology over the past couple hiking cycles. And interestingly, there really is no effect. As interest rates are going up, orders of manufacturing technology are going up just at the same rate almost. And I think it really boils down to what the economic conditions are when the Fed is raising rates. It typically means there's an overheated economy. They're trying to quell demand that's just way too strong. And in that environment, if somebody wants something and they're willing to pay for it, somebody else is going to be willing to buy the machine to make that. So I think the story on the upswing is pretty clear. The story of cutting interest rates is a little bit more unclear. Every other instance where rates have been cut, it's almost been followed by or preceded by a recession. So that's obviously not a great time for manufacturers to be making things. But the only other real example that we have of a soft landing is back in 1994, right after the Mexican default. South America was going through a whole crisis of their debts, and the Fed did manage to avoid a recession under Alan Greenspan, but there were a lot of other complicating factors back then, and it's really hard to extrapolate any lessons when there's one other example. So I think the story is a little bit nuanced, but in general, I think the answer is it should be good.
Are there other signs we should look for to tell us of improvements in manufacturing technology?
Absolutely. I think the main issue is the labor market. And from kind of two sides of the coin, first is manufacturing job openings are at an all-time high. I think this is the first recession since about the late 70s, early 80s. That the number of people employed in manufacturing actually increased following a recession, and job openings are still through the roof. No matter who we talk to, it's what's your biggest issue? It's I need more people on my floor. So I think a big hindrance to more investment in technology is getting people. I really don't like that kind of split that it's, you know, once you get some automation, oh, you don't need labor workers anymore. I feel like some of the most automated shops I've been in have the most people. And there's no point investing in the technology if you don't have the people to operate it. So alleviating that would be really good for the industry. And then secondly, on the other side of the coin, a tight labor market generally raises wages across the board. And with higher wages, people are buying more things, there's more disposable income, and the demand for either manufactured goods or services that rely heavily on the goods that are made on our machinery, such as airplanes, even haircuts, like I said earlier, demand for that will continue and require more manufacturing.
Oh, very interesting. I know that for people in the industry, the IMTS event in September of this year that AMT is hosting will be a big sign of conditions in the industry. So do you think it will be an indicator, or might it be a catalyst of future growth?
Absolutely. So just from like an anecdotal perspective, we're already hearing a ton of buzz about people excited for IMTS 24. Both from the exhibitors, the attendees, people are very excited to get in there, see the newest technologies, and see how it can help make their business better or how it can make improve a process. From more of a numeric standpoint, I actually wrote an article just before IMTS 22 that showed there is a noticeable increase in the demand for manufacturing technology at IMTS and in the couple months afterward. So, you know, just like when you're making a car purchase or a house purchase, you really want to see it, test it out, put your hands on it, and that will really help you make that purchasing decision. And I think machinery is no different.
Yeah, it pulls people off the sidelines. It gets them to concentrate on what they have been pondering on, and they see other people's choices and they want that too. And
or they might even just find something they didn't know about, and it could totally solve a problem for them that they might not have even known there was a solution for.
Well, I want to thank you for your time today, Chris. This has been enlightening to me, and I'm sure to many of our listeners. I hope we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.